Today, more inflation shenanigans, and will the next rate move be up, not down? Hello again, this is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, well, that is posts covering finance and property news. Well, rate cuts anytime this year in Australia are now hanging by a thread, given the latest inflation data came in hotter than expected, despite the annual rate falling thanks to base effects from months ago and some changes to the weightings. The upside surprise came via a small unexpected fall in utilities. Actually, electricity jumped 4.8% in the month to March, but stronger than expected increases in health, car prices, and insurance. Sticky inflation has become a reality, leaving the RBA's board decision last month to abandon its stated tightening bias looking, well, premature at best. Most concerning for the RBA will be the surprising strength in trimmed mean inflation, that's its preferred measure of underlying price pressures, which rose 4%, also higher than forecast, and well above the RBA's 2-3% target. The ABS reported that the consumer price index rose 1% in the March quarter, higher than the 0.6% rise in the December quarter. Annually, the CPIs rose 3.6% in the March quarter, and while prices continue to rise, for most goods and services, annual CPI inflation was indeed down from 4.1% last quarter and has fallen from a peak of 7.8% in December 2022. RBA Governor Michelle Bullock did warn that there will be bumps on the journey back to target, and while one quarterly increase in underlying inflation does not mean disinflation is over, it is an early warning sign that Australia could be going the way of the US, where inflation is proving hard to tame. At very least, this higher-than-expected result in the first 3 months of 2024 suggests that price pressures are proving stickier and bolstering the case for the central bank to hold interest rates at a 12-year high. Remember, Australia's 4.25 percentage points of interest rate rises between May 2022 and November 2023 are at the lower end of the global tightening scale, as RBA Governor Michelle Bullock is seeking to slow inflation without choking off economic growth. But the CPI report suggests policymakers may have more work to do to cool prices, and some are even talking now about a lift higher. And remember, domestically driven inflation would likely be pushed higher by the federal budget being more stimulatory than not. We have tax cuts coming ahead soon, and this adds to the mix, as well as a rather resilient labour market, as evidenced in the data earlier this month. So all up, the RBA is bound to stay higher for longer. Actually, from Washington to Wellington, consumer prices are proving tougher to bring down to target than markets had been anticipating at the start of the year. Wednesday's data comes on the heels of employment figures that showed Australia's labour market still remains tight, and both will feed into the Reserve Bank staff's update forecasts, which will be released with the board's policy decision on May the 7th, and we could well see upward revisions to the RBA's near-term inflation forecasts and downward revisions to its unemployment forecasts at the upcoming May statement on monetary policy. Now, before we get into the detail, we should note that the ABS changed their weightings in these results. The CPI weights reflect the relative amounts spent on goods and services as a proportion of total expenditure by all households, they say. And they say over the past couple of years, there's been a shift away from spending on goods towards services. And following the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, there was strong demand for goods, such as household appliances, furniture and audiovisual and computing equipment. Lockdowns and border closures saw spending fall for services such as restaurants, meals and holiday travel. This resulted in the contribution of goods reaching 58% of the CPI basket and 42% for services. But for the 2024 update CPI weights, the contribution of goods has fallen to 54.5% and services increased to 45.5%, which reflects, they say, spending patterns closer to the pre-COVID-19 period. So the weight for the alcohol and tobacco group fell 0.89 percentage points, and the fall was largely due to a decrease in the weight for tobacco, which was down 0.57 percentage points. The weight for the housing group fell 0.5 percentage points due to a decrease in the weight for new dwellings purchased by owner-occupiers, which was down 0.55 percentage points. And there were fewer dwelling commencements in 2023, as economic uncertainty and high interest rates led to reduced new dwelling construction, as reflected in lower building approvals and new loan commitments for construction and the purchase of new dwellings. The weight for rents increased 0.28 percentage points as vacancy rates remained at historic lows, which saw rental prices increase by 7.3% in the 12 months to the December 2023 quarter, more than the overall CPI increase of 4.1%. And similarly, higher electricity prices, which rose 6.9% in the 12 months to December 2023, has led to an increase in the weight for electricity, increase of 0.14 percentage points. And changes in housing group weights differed, by the way, across capital cities. The weight for the furnishing, household equipment and services group fell 0.51 percentage points as weak demand led to lower expenditure and a fall in prices over the past 12 months for discretionary goods. And the weight for the transport group increased by 0.43 percentage points due to an increase in the weight for motor vehicles, up 0.21 percentage points, and a record number of vehicles were purchased in 2023, and the prices remained elevated. Expenditure increased. The weight for automotive fuel was also up 0.12 percentage points and rose due to petrol prices remaining high over 2023. The weight for recreational and cultural groups increased 1.71 percentage points because more Australians continued to holiday overseas, and international airfare prices remained elevated, which resulted in an increase in the weight for international holiday travel and accommodation of 0.92 percentage points. And the weight for domestic holiday travel and accommodation was up 0.82 percentage points, and they rose as holidaying domestically remained popular and prices remained elevated for domestic accommodation and airfares. And to my mind, this does highlight one of the issues with the CPI, which is a weighted average across all households. But many households have not taken holidays, have not travelled overseas, and indeed are paying more and more for somewhere to live. One reason why the CPI doesn't reflect reality on the ground. Now, turning to the structure of spending, discretionary goods and services, those which may be considered optional purchases, rose 0.5% through the quarter and 2.9% through the year. The rise this quarter was driven by tertiary education, domestic holiday travel and accommodation, and water, soft drinks and juices. The non-discretionary goods and services, which includes goods and services that households are less likely to reduce their consumption of, rose 1.3% through the quarter and 4.2% through the year. The rise this quarter was driven by rents up 2.1%, secondary education up 6.1%, medical and hospital services up 2.3%, pharmaceutical up 7.1%, childcare up 3.9%, and insurance up 3.7%. So once again, households that have to spend on things that they have to buy are experiencing much higher inflation than those areas where you've got choice to spend or not. So overall, the most significant contributors to the March quarter actually was education up 5.9%, health up 2.8%, housing up 0.7%, and food and non-alcoholic beverages up 0.9%. Education fees increased with the start of the calendar year, showing the strongest quarterly rise since 2012. Tertiary education rose 6.5%, with the annual CPI indexation being applied to tertiary education fees. Secondary education rose 6.1%, followed by preschool and primary education up 4.3% as fees were increased at the start of the school year. Prices for medical and hospital services are up 2.3%, typically rise in the March quarter as GPs and other health service professionals review their consultation fees. The Medicare and pharmaceutical benefits scheme safety net thresholds were also reset at the start of the calendar year, meaning fewer people qualified for subsidised prices for out-of-hospital services and pharmaceuticals. The quarterly rise in housing was driven by rents up 2.1% and new dwellings purchased by owner-occupiers up 1.1%. Rental prices rose 2.1% for the quarter, in line with low vacancy rates across the capital cities. Rents continue to increase at their fastest rate in 15 years, but note the differential between regional and city areas. In fact, the ABS published separate analysis which showed that from the middle of 2021, rental inflation picked up in the capital cities and continued to accelerate through 2023. Inner city suburbs, less than 12.5 kilometres from the CBD, that experienced the sharpest decline in rental inflation between 2020 and 2021, are now recording the highest rental inflation across the country. They say this reflects falls in vacancy rates as many of the COVID-19 related impacts noted above have unwound. In fact, in general, the further away that areas are from the CBD, the earlier the peak in the rental inflation. And while still relatively high, rental inflation rates for areas further from the CBD have been moderating since the middle of 2023, while those closer to the city have continued to rise. In fact, capital city rental inflation has outpaced regional areas from March 2023 onwards. But rent prices indices for capital cities versus regional areas show that the overall increase in rents in capital cities since 2019 is still lower than the increase in regional rents over the same period. This is one reason why households in regional areas are under huge rental pressure. Higher labour and materials costs contributed to price rises this quarter for construction of new dwellings. The 1.1% increase is slightly lower than the 1.5% rise in the December 2023 quarter. Food non-alcoholic beverage prices rose this quarter, driven by non-alcoholic beverages up 3.4%, fruit and vegetables up 2.5%, and food products not elsewhere classified up 1.9%. Partially offsetting the quarterly rise was a price fall for meat and seafood, down 0.7%. In fact, meat and seafood prices fell this quarter as increased supply and discounting led to price drops for beef and veal and lamb and goat. Discounting for fish and other seafood and other meats also contributed to the fall. Now, electricity prices fell 1.7% in the March quarter, following a rise of 1.4% in the December quarter, and annually electricity prices have increased 2%, down from a 6.9% increase in the 12 months to December 2023. But the introduction of the Energy Bill Relief Fund rebates from July 2023 has moderated the increases in electricity bills for households. Electricity prices have risen 3.9% since the June 2023 quarter, and excluding the Energy Bill Relief Fund rebates, prices would have increased by 17% over this period. So the question is now, will they continue to support this in the next year? Probably they will, because the snapback for inflation otherwise would be massive. Another killer of inflation is the strongest annual growth in insurance premiums in 23 years. Insurance rose 3.7%, with rises in premiums across motor vehicles, house and house contents insurance reflecting higher reinsurance, natural disasters and claims costs. And other financial services also rose up 1.6% due to higher real estate fees. And worse, over the past 12 months, the group rose 8.2%, with insurances up 16.4% as the main contributor, recording the strongest annual rise since the March 2001 quarter. Insurance prices rose 16.4% annually, which is the strongest annual rise since 2001. Higher reinsurance, natural disasters, and claims costs do continue to drive higher premiums for house, home contents, and motor vehicle insurance. Oh, and audiovisual and computer equipment prices increased 1.1% in the quarter and have barely moved since the pandemic started. But in contrast, in the US and Canada, those prices have been falling on average over the last 2 years. Australian AV prices are now 17% higher than Canadian prices relative to March 2018, and a massive 40% higher than US prices. So price gouging here is almost certainly the case in Australia. And across the major centres, Brisbane led the pack with inflation up 1.1% over the quarter, just ahead of Sydney, Melbourne, Hobart and Canberra, while Perth, Adelaide and Darwin were a little lower. And annually, the CPI rose 3.6%, with housing up 4.9%, food and non-alcoholic beverages up 3.8%, and alcohol and tobacco up 6.3%, contributing the most. Underlying inflation measures, which reduce the impact of irregular or temporary price changes in the CPI, with the annual trimmed mean inflation at 4%, down from 4.2% in the December quarter. And while this is the fifth quarter in a row of lower annual trimmed mean inflation, down from a peak of 6.8% in the December 2022 quarter, the trend looks pretty awkward for the government. And yet Chalmers managed to spin a story based on the falling annual rate and the budget promising more cost of living support. But the budget next month perhaps should take money out of the economy to make life easier for the RBA and by extension to borrowers. In fact, Warren Hogan, the chief economic advisor at Junior Bank, said the contents of the inflation report were extremely worrying and similar to what was happening in the US. He said domestic inflation was stuck at about 4% to 4.5% and was not falling in a material way. And he said domestic inflation is not only sticky, but potentially picking up. The RBA inflation path has shifted up. There is no rate cuts coming, and the issue actually is whether 4.35% is high enough. It is not. As a result of all this, yields on the policy-sensitive two-year government bonds jumped by the most since May, after the CPI index was released, with the two-year yields rising to 4.124%. So money markets wound back pricing for RBA easing this year, and swaps traders see almost no prospect of a rate cut in December, versus about a 2-in-3 chance prior to the report. The currency climbed 0.29% to 65.04 US cents and 52.34 against the British pound. The ASX 200 was pretty flat, pairing gains earlier after the stronger than expected inflation data reinforced consensus that the Reserve Bank will be in no rush at all to cut interest rates. The annual core market services inflation, as calculated by NAB, by the way, increased to 6.5% in March, so it appears almost certain that the RBA will be forced to upgrade its near-term inflation outlook when it releases its latest forecast next month. The central bank would need to see underlying inflation fall to just 0.6% next quarter to realise its June 2024 annual trimmed mean forecast of 3.6%. This is frankly pretty much impossible. So all up, this is a real problem because the worst of all outcomes is that the economy now starts to pick up this year, partly thanks to the tax cuts and other budget improvements, and inflation starts to pick up as well from its high base. And all this means that rates will be higher for longer, which puts more pressure on households and potentially leads us into a recession. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.